episode 4. All right, Lethbridge Stewart, just keep that pressure steady as I showed you. Those chaps will just hurry with the emergency response gear. He might survive. Joe, we don't need any more hand towels, thank you. We can't pack a wound like this.
Yes, Doctor.
He's going gray. Are you sure he's alive?
Yes, just barely. Don't let up on that pressure. I'm trying to pinch off that artery without suffocating him. I think the windpipe's been clean missed. We've just got to hold back the blood flow until better equipment arrives.
Here comes help. Those two men have medical bags.
Right, here we are. There's equipment coming. We'll have to do it right here. We can't move him. Right, let me take over for you, sir. Thanks very much.
Right then. I'll leave it to you.
Here's a hand towel, Brigadier.
Thank you. Let's get a look at that room. I want to know what that fellow was doing in there.
Shall I come with you?
Frankly, Miss Grant, I have no confidence in your ability to take my orders, so I won't presume to give you any. Stay back. It's Mr. Harding's body, undraped.
Do you see the sack on the floor on the other side of the gurney? And it looks like tools. I can't see them well from here.
Yes, I've seen enough. That chap was trying to get the head off. We'll get unit soldiers to guard this room. That body is staying here.
Have his family been notified?
We've notified his office, miss. There's really nobody else to call. Mrs. Jules died several months ago. Cancer. They had no children.
I'll stay with him.
All right.
Hey, it's me, Joe Grant. You've done real well so far. You're still on the case.
Joe? Joe? Are you awake?
Oh, Doctor, why did you come? I won't leave him. This isn't unit, and I'm staying with him.
All right, Joe, I'm not telling you to leave. How is he?
Oh, I don't know. I fell asleep. His color's better.
Skin temperature is normal. Got some color back. He's doing well, Joe. I think he'll be all right. What have you found?
We checked at the Women's Health Center. There didn't seem any abnormalities.
Dr. Rosalind Mays?
Yes, very professional. Been there several years. She was slightly rude to Inspector Jules. Talked about men being self-centered and thinking of women as possessions. Not in those words exactly, but that was what she was saying.
Yes, well, did you get a look at that room that Bilkins and McClellan described?
The room is all closed off, Doctor. I had a chance to look at the air system.
Yes, and?
I don't know. You might want to look at it. It is closed off and dark, without ventilation except for the air system. I tried to check that and got sprayed right in the face with a good dose of air freshener.
You all right?
I checked it because I was sure it might hold some poison or something that had done it to the men. But it was just air freshener. It made me sick because I took the whole shot in my nose and mouth.
But that's only one vent and one dispersal unit, Joe. There are three others we could check. Well, the Brigadier and I followed up on a syringe that I think held something additional to its intended medicine. There may be a link to the nutritional clinic similar to the link to the Women's Health Center. Tenuous for the moment, but a lead in at least two of the cases.
Is that where the Brigadier is, the nutritional clinic?
No, unit has spent the afternoon scouring the area for that man who attacked Inspector Jules. He was inside the morgue, attempting to sever the head of the deceased, trying to get it out of here before the body was transported or autopsied. If they find him, they can find the source of this misery.
Has anyone else been killed?
Not yet. We've got messages out on emergency broadcast, warning people not to take medications without checking the seals. We've been able to temporarily close down every clinic that has dispensed the Yoimbi product that we think was used to infect Drea.
But that leaves the Women's Health Center open.
Yes, we have to find some probable cause before we can issue an order against it. There is still great danger. If this is entirely attributable to a chemical substance, and we don't know that it is, then it has been released through a variety of carrier substances. We feel fairly certain that of the killers, only Drea used the Yohimbe extract, so the others got it some other way. Whoever is doing this has to understand chemistry and medication processes. It would have to be a doctor or researcher.
So you think a practicing physician is doing it? You know, Joe, even in medicine, there are all levels of sophistication. I don't think a physician who spent the last 10 years working in clinical application would be able to do this. Joe, are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine. Just fine.
All right, Joe.
We've gotten the go-ahead on the autopsy of Harding. I'll be with that tomorrow morning. It's nearly 7 now. Have you had dinner?
No, the orderly said they would send something up for me.
There's still time for us to go and find that other nurse, that Addie Davis that gave the syringe to Drea. We can track her easily enough through the police information services.
I need to stay here.
Joe, he'll be unconscious for hours.
There's nobody else. He shouldn't be alone. Besides, at the moment, he's my direct report.
Joe, be serious. You ought to go with me and be of some real use.
So you can send me off again? Or get the brigadier to send me off?
Look, please don't cry.
I'm not going to cry. I have been taken off the case by the brigadier. I don't have my passes. I don't have my clearance. I don't even have my notes. I'm not leaving him on your say-so, doctor. No more than I would have left your side if the situation had been reversed, and I was still your assistant on this case.
All right, have it your way, then. I'll see the Davis woman myself.
She'll probably give him tea and cake. Answer his question. He's a big lad. He can take it.
Oh, you're awake. Oh, don't talk, Inspector.
You all right, Joe?
I've got a splitting headache, but I'm fine. As for you, you gave us all a proper fright. No talking, Inspector. You're under my watch now. I've got to look after you.
You should sleep.
I will. This chair folds out. But I'm going to sit by you a bit longer, keep an eye on you. But the doctors say you'll pull through. You'll be all right. Oh, falling asleep on me, eh? Well, I do have that effect. I'm right here, and everything's all right. It's all right now, and you can sleep.
Everything all right, miss?
Oh, yes. He woke up for a moment, but he's drifted off again.
Are you crying?
Yes, but I don't know why. I am far too tired, and I've got a splitting headache. I think I'll unfold this chair and lie down for a bit.
Hi, you must be the doctor from Unit. Do come in.
Yes, please come through, doctor.
We have tea all ready for you. Unless you'd prefer something stronger. I've got some good Kentucky bourbon here.
Well, that sounds...
The doctor shall have tea, Richard. He's on duty.
Take this chair, doctor. Fine leather upholstery. We've just had it redone.
You do have a lovely home. That Chinese fan on the wall is authentic, I see. Ming, I believe.
You amaze me, doctor. Yes, I am a collector of decor from around the world.
You are friends with the Dreyers, yet you seem, well, slightly out of their class.
Oh, it's been such a shock about Mildred. That's Mrs. Drea, doctor.
Yes, they were simple people, but he's always been very gentle, especially with her. Say, were you called away from a fancy dress party?
Hush, Richard. We ran in slightly different circles, but I was fond of Mildred, and they were a happy couple from what I understood.
You didn't know them both.
I'd met him now and again, but Millie and I worked together. Oh, about 5 years, I suppose, for NHS. We were on the same floor for the longest time. Then we both went with private employers. The schedule is ever so much easier to live with, and the pay was better for both of us. I went to the nutrition clinic. She was with a cosmetic surgeon, I believe, but more of a receptionist than anything else. Still, she didn't mind, kept her off her feet, and the money was there, wasn't it?
Mr. Drea told us that it was you that gave his wife the preparation of Yohimbe. I still see Millie now and again. I was surprised when she came into the clinic for advice. I guess they'd been having a bit of trouble as a couple, in bed. It happens. Well, she told me about it before the nutritionist saw her, and I gave her one of our disposable kits. I thought it unlikely that her husband was having prostate trouble. Probably too much stress. He didn't come to the clinic himself. Men often don't, doctor. Not with trouble like that. I couldn't see the harm of having him try it. Millie can certainly give an injection, and Yoimbi is only contraindicated for heart trouble. It's a safe preparation, as you must know.
Yes, normally. The police have confiscated the disposable kits from the clinic, Mrs. Davis. And the clinic has been closed pending the investigation. Two of the victims were clients of the clinic, Mrs. Dreyer and a Mrs. Harding.
Yes, Mrs. Harding, but the Hardings never took the Yoimbi extract at all. I'm sure of that. You've really closed down the clinic, doctor. That's my job, and it's run on very proper lines.
We cannot risk another incident. We have discovered that the Yoimbi extract was tampered with, a second drug added to the syringe.
Why, that's impossible. I gave it to Millie in its original packaging.
What did the packaging look like?
A clear little bag, heat-sealed closed.
That was not the original packaging. Which distributor did you get the Yoimbi kits from?
I don't know, doctor. We have a stock boy who takes care of receiving.
I'm sorry for the inconvenience of your lost work. Tomorrow we'll start tracing the routes that the Yoimbi extract took to get to you.
I told you.
We must check every detail, madam. Thank you for the tea. Joe? Joe? It's the doctor. Are you awake, my dear?
Oh. Oh. You're smiling at me. Aren't I mad at you?
No, I'm certain we made it up. Can you sit up?
How is he? Oh. Oh, I feel like I've slept ages.
He was awake before you. There's coffee here for you. I'll get it. They gave him a bit of breakfast and he's dozing again. Neither of us thought it wise to wake you. Here you are.
What about the autopsy?
Over and done. It's nearly 11 o'clock in the morning, young lady. There's a whole plate of toast left for you. Inspector Jules and I both agreed we should let you sleep. You've been driving yourself hard on this case. Here's the toast.
Oh, I'm so hungry. I wish the coffee were better. And I'm still mad at you, so you may as well stop being nice to me. Even if you got me a really decent cup of coffee to go with this toast, I'd stay mad at you. Though you may want to try and see.
Look, I am sorry, Joe. I suppose it was harsh to dry your tears and then send you packing. I didn't mean it that way.
It doesn't matter now. I know I can do what I have to do, what I ought to do. The only real question is if you'll let me do it. Oh, even bad coffee tastes good. Look, if it were aliens or something the Time Lords wanted done, I'd know my place. Maybe I'd still be following you around, but I would know I was out of my depth. But this is different.
How is this different, Joe?
These are people just like me. This is an investigation I understand. I was attacked by one of those men because he was suffering. It's not like you understand the nature of what's happening and I don't, doctor. I understand.
If one of our own people were to attack you, it would destroy more than just your life and more than just his life. Unit itself could suffer a tremendous loss of cohesiveness, of ability to function.
As far as we know, there's nothing to stop a unit man from attacking any other woman. There's no point in exempting me.
Well, all right. Look, I've got your pass cards and keys in my pocket. Here you are. That's all you need. And I am sorry.
I don't have any pockets. Will you hold them for me?
I didn't do it out of meanness, Joe, or because I thought you couldn't do the job.
Oh, this toast is so good. Don't stop now, doctor. You owe me a whopping big apology, and I want to hear all of it.
It's just that, well, I was worried for you. I was concerned about Callie attacking you. I mean, I care about you, Joe, all right? I care about you, and I don't want you getting strangled. There, I was trying to protect you.
Oh, and you think that settles everything, no matter how I felt about it.
Could we get real coffee?
I got you into all of this. Here I am, hundreds of years older than you, and I go playing round with your life, and you're not yet 20. I am responsible for what happens to you.
I'm over 20, and I'm doing my duty, and I would like a decent cup of coffee. I'm sure you owe me that much. Oh, and I've eaten all the toast. Is there any more toast?
Autopsy first. I did learn something. I'll wake the inspector.
What's all this traffic doing in this patient's room?
I told that bus driver not to come back this way, didn't I, Joe?
Doctor, that's the chief surgeon.
Why are you in a hospital dressed like that?
I was dressed very nearly like this when I saved this man's life yesterday.
Well, I beg your pardon, but you must clear this room just now.
Perhaps we could find coffee and toast.
Joe, we must discuss things with the inspector.
If you'll just step outside for a moment, we're going to change the bandages.
Hello? Are you having a party in my room?
We'll just be right outside the door, Inspector.
Sounds like Inspector Jules doesn't make a very good patient. Joe, it isn't polite to listen at the door. What are they saying?
The inspector wants some answers about the length of his stay and how much he can push himself.
Oh! Joe, you're a natural detective. Were you listening at that keyhole?
Inspector, your visits are to be limited to 30 minutes, and you dare not leave that bed for another 24 hours. If that wound were to reopen, it would be the end of you. So you'll just have to sit there and like it.
Touchy fellow. You're good at aggravating doctors. And they generally respond by saving my skin. Thank you.
I've had my revenge, old boy. I nicked back my assistant while you were asleep.
Did he really?
I'm afraid so. Well, I'll miss you. You're the pluckiest partner I ever had.
Right then, where's the case? Any word on that fellow that slashed me up?
Not yet, but we've got some information on the late Mr. Harding. Take a look at his brain, since that seemed to be the object of the attempted theft.
Ugh!
And? There was a slight edema around certain hormone-producing centers. Swelling and fluid retention.
What's that indicate?
Well, it could indicate a lot of things. One possibility is that there was inflammation. Increased activity in certain pathways that we would consider exclusively male responses.
Sexual activity?
Not what most people think of when they think of sexual activity. Aggression and dominance are present in male sexual activity, but they are not limited to sexual activities, and there are other influences that temper them and even minimize them during sexual behaviors.
I think I'm getting lost. These were not sexual crimes, we know that.
Joe, look at it this way. If somebody were to tremendously excite the point of a man's brain where testosterone production is regulated, what would happen?
I think he would produce more testosterone.
Yes, and? He could become more aggressive, even blindly aggressive, perhaps paranoid. We see it in athletes who take testosterone by injection. The most overdose cases attack people. And what would happen if the same thing were done to a woman?
Do women produce testosterone?
Yes, in much more limited amounts.
I suppose the same thing would happen, except maybe she would physically change as well, start to develop male characteristics.
No, Joe. That's what would happen if she were given injections of testosterone. But if you tried to excite that part of her brain that governs the production of testosterone, it would be inhibited by other factors. She would produce more, certainly, but she's not designed to produce very much. She would, in effect, exhaust some hormonal functions temporarily. She would get a headache. She might show some symptoms of hormonal imbalance for a few minutes or a few hours, depending on the length of the exposure to the stimulus to her brain. She would likely become very emotional and ultimately very sleepy. She would sleep several hours longer than normal, and during that time, her system would probably right itself.
Why, that sounds just like...
Yes, exactly what's happened to you the last 24 hours, it seems. Anyway, the sleepiness checks out.
You think that dose of air freshener did it? But it really was air freshener.
It may have been carrying a passenger. We saw from the Yohimbe extract that whatever is being used, it can be combined with certain other chemicals without losing its own chemical identity.
But what about Harding? He never went near the Women's Health Center. Poor chap was on his last legs from leukemia.
And he resisted the effects of whatever dose he was given. He actually warned his wife to get away from him, and he seemed to be less influenced, more aware of losing his ability to control himself. Take a look at these. I think that these inhibited the dose he received.
What is it?
A neural blocker devised to relieve nausea after chemotherapy. It seems to have blocked some of the receptor cells that would have been influenced by the dose.
Joe, hand me that phone.
I don't know what did it to Harding, but now that we know Joe got a dose of it, we've got to close that women's health center down. Tell your men to stay well out of the building, and tell them to hunt down and isolate any man that's been in that building for the last day.
Hello, what now? Yeah. Give me Rourke. Rourke,
Doctor,
I need to talk to you about that women's health center.
Miss Grant.
Good morning, Brigadier.
No sign of that fellow with the switchblade, Doctor. We've made a roundup of all the supplies kept at the nutritional clinic. We've questioned the staff, but no leads.
Did you question the stock boy?
I meant the professional staff.
Well, now that you've found nothing, start with the non-professional staff. I'm not saying the stock boy did anything, but certainly he'd be the most likely to have seen something irregular. Oh, you look into it, will you, Joe?
Yes, Doctor, of course.
Done. My lads are on their way to close the place down, but they'll do it by means of a bullhorn. Nobody's going inside. Good morning, Brigadier.
You seem very well, Inspector. I'm glad to see it.
Oh, there's nothing more embarrassing than having your throat cut when you're right in the middle of telling someone off. Care for some lukewarm coffee?
No, thank you. I started my day hours ago.
Joe, why not borrow the Inspector's car and see to questioning the rest of the nutritional clinic staff? I'm going to the Women's Health Center and look the place over.
Doctor, you will be careful.
Of course. I'll turn off the HVAC system for one thing.
I meant about Dr. Mays.
I told you, Joe.
How do you know she was never a researcher?
She's been with the Women's Health Center for over 10 years. We checked her history. Before that, she was with general practice through NHS. However, there are factors that make her a possible suspect. Still, you don't have much to fear from her. Just don't take anything she prescribes until we've checked her further. All right? All right. Those decanters of air freshener are our one chance of finding any of this stuff intact. It deteriorates quickly. I couldn't retrieve any from the Yohimbe syringe.
Was it the vitamins did it to Harding?
I think so. There were magnesium salts left in residue on the coatings of the tablets, so something was there. But once the bottle was open, the substance that had been sprayed onto the pills broke down. And listen, whatever the brand name of that air freshener is, it will need to be confiscated from distributors. I'm afraid you're not going to be a very popular man, Brigadier.
That's all right, but I'll need a lift back to HQ to get the paperwork started and make the calls to start the shutdowns on these products.
Right. See to that, will you, Joe? I'll see you both back at the lab.
Oh, what a jolly ride this will be.
Joe, take my radio. I know you're just gathering information, but I don't want you alone out there.
I'm sorry, sir. There's no admittance.
I'm with Unit, officer. You may call me the doctor. Please let me in.
I'll just have to check that, sir.
You do that. I just left Inspector Jules in hospital.
This is Outpost 1.
Outpost 1, has the doctor arrived yet?
Why, yes, sir. He just...
Give him whatever he needs and let him in. And chain the doors after him, understood?
Yes, sir. Sorry, doctor. Just had to verify. Come this way.
That's a pretty hefty chain.
Yes, sir. I will have to wrap the door handles again and lock them after you.
Yes, all right. I'll rap loudly on the glass to be let out.
There you are, doctor.
Yes, well, first things first. Shutting off the air system might be a good idea. That looks like the circuit breaker box behind the receptionist's desk. Now to find those air vents. Shouldn't be too difficult. I've got the sonic screwdriver. There we are. That bulb-type thing is the decanter. Come here, you. Let's see what you have to tell me at the lab. And maybe one quick look at the files before I go. I'd like to see where this place is getting its supplies from. The most active files are kept up front, but there's got to be a file archive, probably in the back. Here we are. I never thought a place this small could have so many files. Let's see. Receiving. Well, here's purchasing. Perhaps receiving is filed under that. Oh, really? What a mess. This is hardly a professional bit of detective work. Let's see if I can't get these papers back in order. Half of them slid under that bookkeeping desk. Let's see how far I can reach into get them. Come here, you. Oh, this is a tight fit. What? How did you get in here? Say, would you mind pointing that gun in the other direction?
Who are you?
I assure you, I have every reason to be here. You must be, Dr. Rosalind Mays. How do you do?
Fit on the floor.
All right. Say, do you mind telling me what you're doing here?
Put your hands on your knees.
Anything to oblige.
You took the vent apart.
I did.
Turn over. Get on your face.
All right, but this is really unnecessary.
Spread your arms out.
I'm sorry, the room is so narrow that I'll have to put my right arm under the desk here.
Then do it. Don't move.
Madam, you don't need to search me for weapons. This really is unnecessary. I'm not going to hurt you.
This gun is right at the back of your head.
Yes, I feel it, and I feel your knee in my back. Would you mind getting off of me? I feel quite ridiculous.
If you move, I'll pull the trigger.
Well, can I at least sneeze? I don't like this carpet much. I say, would you mind staying out of my pockets?
What's this? A path? You're with Unit. They call you Doctor, according to this.
So now you see you can let me up. I'm one of the good guys.
Would you please let go of my hair?
Am I on your short list?
Oh, much obliged. For questioning, yes.
Who is the girl? She was with the detective yesterday.
She's an agent working with Unit.
Why do you have her passes?
She didn't have a pocket, so I'm holding them for her.
What is she to you?
Nothing. We both work for Unit. I come equipped with pockets, that's all.
Do you like being helpless, Doctor? Tell me truly how it feels.
Not very nice.
Shall I kiss you? Do you like it when there's nothing you can do?
Well,
I've got the muzzle of the gun right at your temple, so give me the answer I like or I'll pull the trigger. There's only one right answer, so you'd better get it right first time.